His mother named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth in pain." But Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted him his request. Oh, Jabez said this, "I don't want to be identified with pain. I want to be identified with the hand of God on my life. I want when people see me, Lord, that they'll say, there's Jabez, the hand of God is on his life."
You may remember that passage from the best-selling book, The Prayer of Jabez, from a few years back. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We all go through seasons of pain, and we cry out to God to deliver us from it. But is he even listening at all? Well, here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Gift of Pain.
God must have thought pain was such an important subject that he's about to dedicate a whole book to this one subject. Let me tell you about Job. Job was a righteous man. No, not a sinner. Righteous man. But let me tell you, in 1 week, his kids get killed. His son-in-law and daughters-in-law get killed. His grandkids get killed. All of his legacy is wiped out in 1 week. Later on in the week, if that wasn't enough, he goes bankrupt. All of his money's gone. From a hero to a zero in 7 days. And then he breaks out and boils. His health goes south. I mean, that's worse than a bad hair day. He's just having trouble after trouble. The only one that's left is his wife. In the midst of all of this, he's sitting there with all of these boils. And he's saying, "Oh my, what am I going to do?" How did he respond? I'll tell you how he responds. He responds with worship. You say, "What?" Yeah. You see, and you can write that in your notes, when you go through the midst of pain, respond with worship. You say, "Well, wait a minute, Wayne, why that?" Well, let's read what it says here in Job. Job 1, verses 20 to 22, it'll come up on the screen. Would you read it out loud? Go. "Then Job tore his clothes. Then he fell to the ground and through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame." Oh, this is so important. You see, when pain hits, you got to fight like crazy the urge to blame God. Because we want to blame somebody. We want to attack somebody. It's just a natural reaction. But instead it said, Job tore his clothes, fell on his face, and worshiped God. Why? Because he knew that he had to establish the lordship of God, regardless of the circumstances. See, that's a given. I've got to make sure that God stays on the throne, and I don't throw him off just simply because of my emotional pain. And as hard as the struggle is, he is still Lord. And if my basic premise is wrong, everything else is going to be wrong. But why does he throw himself into worship? I'll tell you why. Because he knew he had to guard himself from the toxins and from the bitterness and the sin and the need to justify himself that injects itself so easily into us when there's pain. He needed to protect himself from those toxins. In fact, he says it this way. Let's read Job 6:10. Would you read it with me? Go. "It is still my consolation, and I rejoice in unsparing pain that I have not denied the words of the Holy One." It was like a point of victory for Job. He said, "Yes, I've not denied the words of the Holy One. I'm not going to do it." Now, you're going to have some naysayers along the way. I mean, you got to check out his wife. She's like, she's a pill. She comes to Job, says, "Job, are you still holding fast to your integrity? I mean, your belief in God, your faith stuff?" He says, "Big wow. Why don't you just curse God and die?" Nice wife. You know, "Thanks, honey. I really need encouragement like that once in a while. Appreciate that. Appreciate you so much." She's saying, you know, if God gives us blessings, we'll praise him. But if it's inconvenience, that's it. Just swear at him and die. Just go right ahead. What? Job responds and says, "You foolish woman. You speak crazy. Shall we accept just good from God and not accept adversity?" And with all of this, Job refused to sin with his lips. He said to his wife, what kind of faith do you want? Good times faith? When God gives you blessings, you praise him, but when something of inconvenience comes, you swear at him? Is that the kind of faith you want us to have? God, give me blessings, bless, I love you. Blessing, bless, I love you. What? And then swear at him and die? Like, I don't think so, honey. And he refused to blame God. And I thought, wow. See, he establishes one of his premises that God is love, regardless. And then we come to, this is one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible, and it'll come up in Job 13. He says, and it takes a lot of guts to say this, but he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Can you come to that? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Boy, I read that and I thought, wow, Job, you're a better man than I. Amazing. And he's teaching us how to respond in the midst of pain. He knew that he was Lord. He knew that he was love. And he said, I know my Redeemer lives. Listen carefully. Suffering will change you, but not necessarily for the better. You have to choose that. And so he chose worship because worship protected him from the toxins of pain and hate to destroy his countenance. And then another thing he teaches us is, would you write it in your notes, number two there, process the pain God's way. Process the pain God's way. Because, you see, when there's pain, you can let the devil have it or you can let God have it. If you let the devil have it, he'll turn it into bitterness and anger. He'll cause you to justify doing stupid stuff in retaliation. Or you put it before God and he'll give you the strength because the Bible says he gives grace to the afflicted. Grace is only available when you say, God, I need you to deal with this. Because in my own flesh, I want to do this. It's like you're going down the street and someone, you know, maybe you make a little wrong turn or something and someone just beeps their horn, sticks their hand out the window and shows you their IQ upward. And you want to do the same. Oh, man, do I want to do that sometime. I can't because I have a Christian bumper sticker on my car and can't. But we want to retaliate, don't we? Or we can say, oh, I bet he's having a bad hair day. I bet somebody yelled at him. Something's going wrong. It's all right. And then you drive on. Or the devil can get his fingers involved and cause you to retaliate. It's up to you. There's going to be times that if you let the devil deal with it, it'll destroy your future. But when you let God deal with it, will it take away the pain? No. Even in Hebrews, do you know that Jesus struggled with pain? Let's read the scripture and see what happens. Let's read it together out loud. Go. In the days of his flesh, which means when he walked on the earth, okay? In the days of his flesh, when he cried out to God with what? And tears to the one who was able to save him from death. He cried out with loud cryings and tears. Jesus. You think he was struggling with pain? Yeah. When was the last time you cried out to God with loud cryings and tears? Amen. See, a lot of times we don't want to do that. It's embarrassing. It's a little shameful. But Jesus did it. And Jesus is saying to us, when you go through pain, because you will, you go before me, not before men. Don't justify or blame. You can come with loud cryings and tears, and I'm going to hear you, and I'm going to save you. My grace becomes available at that time. Because, you see, we don't forget that we're Christians. We forget that we're human. And we struggle. And we've got to come before him, and God's grace is made available. I want to encourage us, let's be common visitors to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we can cry out to God. We find Peter saying it this way. So then he says, let those who suffer according to the will of God keep entrusting themselves to the Lord in doing what is right. Just continue doing good. Let those who suffer according to the what? The will of God. You know, if there's a way to suffer that's according to the will of God, I bet he's suggesting that there probably is a way that we could suffer that's not according to the will of God. This brings grief without end. This brings grace without end. So we have to make sure that we process our pain God's way. And then finally, and I'm going to move you into my second hero in just a second, but number three, would you write down, when you experience or run into pain, let your faith define the situation. Don't let the situation define your faith. How many people I've seen that have crumbled faith, eroded faith, diluted faith because of that guy that I met at that church? Do you know what he did? Do you know what she said? That's why I don't go to church. Oh, you're letting an event determine your faith. Why don't you let your faith determine the event? Oh, that's what Jabez teaches us. Oh, you'll like this. But what I'm about to say is probably the most important part of this message. So I need you, if you forget everything else, please remember this. Are you ready? Here's the event. Between the event and your response to that event is your interpretation and belief system about that event. If this crumbles, this event will determine your response and your future. If your faith stays strong, your faith determines the event and you become better because of it. For God will work all things together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Now, what I'm about to share with you may blow your mind, but here's what science and biology and anatomy teaches us. Did you know that the sensory channels that take pain to your brain is the same pathways that pleasure or happiness takes to your brain? They use the same roads, the same channels, the same vendors. They go to the same restaurants. They use the same cars. Everything's the same. They share it. For example, let's say someone is, say you get a bite, you know, a spider bite or a mosquito bite, and you scratch it. And you go, oh, I feel so much better. And you keep scratching it. And you keep scratching it. Before long, it's like, ow, ow, and it's starting to bleed. Well, you know that pleasure and pain use the same cars, Uber or Lyft, I don't know, but they use the same group. Yeah, for example, if you take the bottom of your foot and you scratch it real hard, or you take a feather and you tickle it, it's the same sensories that go to your brain. What's the difference? You define it differently. One is scratch, the other is tickle. You come home from work, you're really tired. Oh, and you say, honey, say to your husband, give me a massage. He goes, okay. And he's like, ow, 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 ow. And your husband says, oh, okay, sorry, I'll stop. Oh, no, don't you dare stop. You just keep right on going. That hurts so good. Oh, yeah. See, the same channels that deliver or communicate pain is the same ones that do pleasure. You think, wow. You get up in the morning, you're stretching. Oh, ouch, ouch, ouch. Ah, that felt so good. Yeah, it's the same sensory. It's like God knew that he had to run them together. Because you see, we think that if we can remove all pain, we'll be happy. No, pain and happiness run on the same highway. And if we get rid of all pain, you will get rid of happiness. God was so wise to have them use the same highway so that they're actually together. I thought, oh, you're brilliant, God, because everything's the same. Yes, so when you have an event here and you have your response to it, one says it's bad, the other says it's good. Well, wait a minute, is it different roadways? No, same roadway, it's just how you defined it. And you know, we're going to see that Job, along with Jabez, lets their faith, their belief, define the event. They don't let the event define their response. And that's why when Peter was with Jesus and he looked at Simon Peter and he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I prayed that your what? That your faith not fail. Not that the event goes away, not that you be immune, that your faith not fail. If you interpret it correctly, you'll be fine. You interpret it correctly, incorrectly, it'll be pain. Let your faith define the event. Ah, that's it. Yeah. That's exactly what we find in Jabez. Now, Jabez has just two verses, whereas Job has a whole book. But Jabez's two verses are very indicative of how to respond to pain. Now, the word Jabez means pain. See, in those days, like Jacob, when Jacob was born, he was seen struggling with his brother, so they named him Jacob. Jacob means struggling or wrestling. And so they name their kids according to how they're born. I mean, that's a little strange. Esau, when he came out, he had flaming red hair, so they call him Red. That's what Esau means, red. And when Jabez was born, he must have been a big baby, because mother said to the doctor, when he comes out, don't you slap him. I want to slap him. It's just, he's a painful kid. It's like the Indian brave, you know. His young son says, Daddy, how did you name me? He said, well, it's like you have three other siblings. There's four of you. First thing I see when I come out of the teepee after your mother gives birth. Like what? Well, it's like your brother, Flying Eagle, or your sister, Running Deer, or your other sister, Falling Rain. Why do you ask, Pooping Dog? So Jabez is like that. How would you like to be named Pain or Pooping Dog? Pain. You know, hey, Pain, come here. It's time to eat. Pain, sit down. Sit down. Pain. Mom, a little sore. My neck is sore. Oh, I can call you Pain in the Neck. It's just terrible. Well, it must have been such pain for him that he actually prays to God. And we're going to see it. Read it with me. Would you go? His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth in pain. But Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted him his request. Oh, Jabez said this, I don't want to be identified with pain. I want to be identified with the hand of God on my life. Do you see that? I don't want to be identified with pain. I want my faith to identify the event, not the event to identify me. I want when people see me, Lord, that they'll say, there's Jabez, the hand of God is on his life. I know Christians that 10 years after a sullen, hurtful event, they're still identified with that event. And Jabez says, no, I want your hand to be on me. And I want that to identify my faith. And it must have honored God so much that he granted him his request. And from that day on, when people looked at Jabez, they said, there is a man of God. God's hand is on him. Wow. You say, well, how can we get that kind of boldness and power? Let me close with this. By coming to the one who bore your pain and sorrow himself. And he knows what it's like. For he says in Hebrews, for you don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with your weakness, but he's been tempted in every way as we have, and yet without sin. Therefore, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. If you think about it, when Jesus went to the cross, no one from heaven helped him. He had to carry his own cross to Calvary. And when the soldier went to pound the nail through his hand, there was no angel that stayed the hand of that executioner. And when they mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his head, no angelic host helped him. There was no legion of angels. And when that lance gutted his side, even the Father was silent. And his mother Mary looked on. Don't you think that was painful for her? Yet he carried that to the cross and he said, by my stripes, you are healed. Wow. But 3 days later, he rose again because God is love. It doesn't matter what it looks like, God is love. And we get to suffer in a way that will process the pain God's way. God is love. And 3 days later, he's alive. And because he lives, we too shall live. Amen. For I know my Redeemer liveth. And listen, your third day is coming too. And because he lives, you too shall live. And God gives us the boldness and the strength and the grace to be his ambassadors on the earth. Your third day will come. And with Job, we can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Trust him. His love will uphold you. I know it will. I know my Redeemer lives.
That was Pastor Wayne with a message entitled The Gift of Pain on Words of New Hope. Here now are the New Hope Singers with Hope is Alive.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope, heard each day on this very fine station. Until next time, God bless you as you walk hand in hand with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Aloha.
When was the last time you were truly grateful for something? Not just saying thank you, but really meaning it. Even today, in a world where everything seems to be falling apart, and there's so much uncertainty in the air, there are many things and people to be grateful for. Today, choose to show gratitude. Who knows? Maybe you'll just start a chain reaction that will transform the world around you. And when you do, you'll help others remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.